Okay, this is going to be a very short module. This is about answering the phone. And I cover this in the main portion of the course, but again, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, a couple of new things that I've encountered over the years. This should go without saying, but believe me, I've seen so many magicians break this rule that when you are answering the phone, you want to answer professionally. You know, you can say, hello, you know, thank you for calling the office of Chris Johnson. How can I help you today? Something like that. So it identifies right away to the person on the other end of the phone that they reached the right number. Same goes with your voicemail too. And again, I mean, I don't know too many people who have landlines anymore. I know a few people, but most people I know don't even have landlines anymore. But I really believe that if you're going to be using your cell phone for your business, you got to suck it up and have your voicemail reflect the fact that you have, you know, that it's a business line. I don't recommend having a voicemail that says, hello, you've reached the Smith family and the magic of, you know, John Smith. I really believe you should just suck it up and have that voicemail hyper-focused on your business. And if you have multiple, and I know a lot of magicians have multiple businesses too. Like I'll call somebody and I'll hear something like, you've reached A&A Paving and the magic of John Smith. And I think that's a mistake as well. I really think you should have separate lines. So have your voicemail message be very short. You've reached school assembly presenter John Smith. I can't take your call right now. Please leave your name, number, and a detailed message. I'll return your call as quickly as possible, often within the same day, usually within 2 hours. That is something I would have in my voicemail. Because you're telling the people exactly what to do. You're having them leave the message and identify themselves and all that kind of stuff. And you're also being specific in terms of when you're going to get back to them. You're setting up that expectation for good customer service. I've heard some people, and I get it, you know, not everybody uses this as their full-time gig. Many people, they just can't do it. I've heard some messages, both for entertainers and other industries, I'll get back to you within 48 hours. And that's often, it takes way too long. So I like to tell people that they're going to get a response always in the same day, usually within a couple of hours. You know, that really sets a nice precedent and paints a picture of positive customer service in the mind of the client. Now I will say this: if you call my office right now, it's, you know, my cell phone is going to say you've reached the office of Chris Johnson Incorporated. That is because I use my same corporation for my copywriting business and my school assembly business, and I did not want to say you've reached the office of Chris Johnson copywriter and the school assembly programs of Chris Johnson. I didn't want to have the separation, so I just said you've reached the office of Chris Johnson Incorporated, and to me that's enough, because again, you know, I've kind of got my feet in two different businesses, so that's my way of getting around the you've reached A&A Paving and the school assembly office of John Smith. So that's my way of doing it. Now, when you're answering, and by the way, I'm talking about answering your phone and everything, but oddly enough, the way my business is structured, the way things have evolved, at least for me in the school assembly market, I rarely have people calling me anymore. I will have some of my library clients call me directly because librarians are more tactile and more hands-on. But the vast majority of my school assembly clients, they respond by email, and we'll get more in email and other modules. But when somebody does call me, I have learned not to judge the person calling me based on who they what their phone number says. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. I was in New Jersey a number of years ago. This was before the pandemic, and I was just exhausted. I was like, 2019 was like my busiest year ever. I mean, that's when I made the most, when I grossed the most money. I was on the road constantly. It was crazy. And so somebody called me, and it was from Colorado. And I rarely receive phone calls. Yes, I receive school assembly inquiries from Colorado. I performed out there. But I rarely receive phone calls from Colorado. So I saw that, I saw Colorado come up on my cell phone. And I answered the phone, hello, you know, kind of gruffly like that, expecting a spam phone call. And somebody goes, yes, is this Chris Johnson? I'm looking for assemblies. And and I immediately apologized, told her why I answered the phone the way that I did. And I was talking to a principal of a school. And we wound up booking two different assembly programs for two schools out in Colorado. It was a very profitable gig for me. So always answer your phone professionally. Now, these days, and I don't know how all cell phone carriers are, but at least with Verizon on my iPhone, I'll see a number, it'll come up and it'll say, potential spam. And I mean, spam calls are just rampant now. And especially with me, because I have multiple domain names. I mean, I've got domain names for various aspects of my copywriting. I've got, you know, domain names for my magic business. I've got all these domain names in my account for my wife's hair salon. I've got all these domain names. So I'm constantly getting pitched on these companies trying to sell me digital marketing services. And I don't know if they're legitimate or not, but it comes up potential spam. And when they call me and I answer professionally, I can hear in the background other people. They have a call center. They have all these people making these pitches to other people across the country and or world. So as a result, if I see potential spam on my cell phone, I usually will not answer it. I'll let it go to voicemail. And most of them, they don't even leave a message. But if I decide to answer the phone, like if it's my area code 716, I always answer it professionally because you never know. It might be a school calling you from Colorado. And sometimes I get really weird. Like the number will come up and below it, you know, usually it'll say, you know, Buffalo, New York, New York, New York, Boston, Massachusetts, whatever. But once in a while, I get these phone calls, and underneath the number of my cell phone, it'll say public services. I had that happen the other day, and I thought it was a spam call, and I violated my own rule, and I answered hello, and it was a longtime client. You know, she books me for anywhere from 2 to 3, sometimes 4 library performances a year. This year, as I'm recording this, she's got me coming in to do a teen program and a program for all the kids. And she goes, oh, hi, Chris, this is Roseanne. I go, oh, I'm terribly sorry. It came out public services. I really apologize. And she'd call me hoping to see if I could fill a slot that another entertainer had vacated. They had a medical emergency. But that's the weird thing about cell phones. You get these notations, and sometimes they're not always accurate. You know, why her library came up saying with a notation saying public services, I'll never know. So just be aware of that. And the other thing, too, is that people will have cell phones, and then they move, and they maintain the same number even though they're in a different geographic area. So I've learned, too, not just to assume that when somebody calls me and I see an area code for a state that I don't go to, I don't automatically write them off. I live in Niagara Falls, New York, and I'm in the Northeast in the United States, and I will typically travel to, not all of New York, but a good chunk of New York. I will travel, if I feel like it, to Connecticut, on very rare occasions, Jersey. I'll occasionally travel to Massachusetts. I like going to Massachusetts. It's an easy drive. And I know a lot of the prefixes. I know a lot of the area codes for these areas. But sometimes I'm surprised. I'll see an area code pop up that I know is for Colorado, and I answer the phone expecting to turn it away. I'm like, hi, I'm calling you about an assembly program. We have a school in Buffalo, or whatever. So my point is, don't automatically assume that when you see an area code, if it's an area you don't go to, not to answer it. You know, take a chance, answer it, you never know. And that's basically it about answering phones. Again, there's a lot of conjecture out there in the magic community. Some people say they never answer the phones. They always wait for it to go to voicemail. They say that it kind of positions them as the expert and in high demand, that sort of thing. I never really bought into that, and I'm successful enough that, what works for me works for me. I mean, I don't always answer my phone, but that's because I'm not always available to answer my phone. But and the other thing, too, is that conducting business in a personal manner is becoming more of a rarity. So if I have the opportunity to talk to somebody on the phone and I really want the gig, my booking ratio when I talk to somebody on the phone is like sky high. Especially 10, 15 years ago when a lot of my shows, most of my shows would book over the phone. You know, a principal or a PTA mom would call me. They want information. And in the old course, the first version of the course that you have access to, I had this whole module in the written material where I talk all about answering the phones and phone scripts and everything. And it's like a page and like each phone script is like a page and a half, where if you have the opportunity to make a pitch over the phone, it talks about how to do it. These days, I would recommend shortening that. The information that I've got in the phone script is fairly lengthy. And most of the time, people are looking really quickly for a price. So I really maintain that if you have done a really good job with your website, when people contact you, it should mostly just get some ancillary details, like how long is your show, what is your price, do you come to my area, that kind of thing. So that's why I really recommend having very detailed information, not only in your emails that are sent out and people fill out your contact form, but also on your website itself. So when they call you, they're mostly just looking for answers to their questions. But if you get somebody who glanced at your website, they called you up, and you know they're friendly, and you have the opportunity to make a longer form pitch to them on the phone, like I talk about the written material in the course, you know, then go for it. Just learn to kind of feel them out and see if they've got the opportunity, the time to talk to you. And that is about it for answering the phone. I guess it turned out to be a little bit longer than I thought, but I do like to go into a lot of detail. So we'll move on now to the next module.